This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
The case of Brian Koberger being accused of being the individual who killed the four college students in Moscow, Idaho, right around Thanksgiving of 2023, continues to evolve as more and more hearings come about. Just recently, the attorneys for Brian Koberger asking the judge to make public their arguments that he should rethink his decision to deny their ask to toss out the charges. Not necessarily completely, hey, should we rethink this? But we want the public to see why you said we should toss out these charges. It's an interesting play. If there's something there, why not get it out there? If there's something exonerating for Brian Koberger. If there's not, well, then there's not. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. The psychology of this thing, this is an interesting move by an attorney of, hey, what's behind door number two? We had it presented, but it's not opening. Maybe there's something really good in there that's going to be really good for Brian Koberger, but the judge won't let you see. Is this kind of playing with someone's or with the public's mind? Is that what we're talking about here right now? It's the mystery. It's what you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what occurred to me, my best guess was, what a way to influence a potential jury pool. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's the secret stuff that could exonerate him. And, you know, all you need is doubt. And there's been so much evidence, and we don't know all the evidence they have that the state has against him. But what we do know is pretty damning. Mm-hmm. And I would think that in trying to combat that public perception, this would be a pretty smart way to do it.
When we're talking about jury pools today and battling something in court, is it different than how things had been handled, you know, a handful of years ago, 10, 20 years ago, because of the way that we all communicate, the way that we absorb information is so vastly different in the amount of information that we absorb as well. It's not just necessarily arguing this in court, in the courtroom while the trial is going on. It seems that a lot of these defenses are being mounted right away in the very public venues, even when you have gag orders going on, because of that possibility of influencing a jury pool. Someone who gets onto a jury doesn't necessarily have to have zero knowledge of the case. Many right. cases, especially something like this, it'd be nearly impossible to have zero knowledge right. of the case. I'd be kind of scared if someone's going onto that jury pool and having zero knowledge of this case existing.
I wouldn't believe them.
I wouldn't want them. I mean, it's like, if you're that far into the sand, you probably are not making good judgments in any part of your life. But when it comes to this, how much of these cases are really decided or a good percentage of the weight that people are going to be giving on that guilty, not guilty verdict happening before they're even selected for jury duty?
Yeah, I think it's a concern, but it is the world we live in mm-hmm. where everybody, you know, from politicians and discretions, things that we never would have heard of before, somebody gets caught, it is all over the internet immediately. And so we're all hyper aware of mm-hmm. these kinds of cases. And of course, these horrific kinds of shocking cases grab people's attention all the more. Mm-hmm. So there's no way for people not to have, to some degree, some kind of prejudice, one way or the other, about it. But I don't know how to get around that because it's just the world we live in now.
I mean, that's kind of the next question I had is, you know, because it's always argued we don't want to influence the jury pool. That's where, you know, we still do this today, but I don't know how effective it truly is, where it's like, we're going to physically move the trial down the road a little ways, like physically. Right. Like, that does that even matter anymore? I mean, I guess a little, but does it hold the weight or the difference that it would have years ago where, you know, only people in this town knew about this case?
Right, Right. Yeah. I don't think it holds much weight anymore because it's a world community. You know, we know about things that happen in other countries, these shocking stories. And, you know, what can we say that the internet has been a gift in so many ways, and people are so much able to access so much wonderful information along with not so wonderful information. But people can know everything the day it happens. And this is a factor sometimes in certain kinds of crimes, particularly in the mass shooters, school shooters, et cetera. They're heavily influenced by watching other shooters. And this is, they're influenced in all the wrong ways. That you take an angry kid with a lot of psychological problems and some psychopathy going, and then it becomes a competition because they've seen all these other kids on the internet doing it. And it's like, well, I can kill more than that one. As bizarre as that sounds, that's the dynamic that happens. So the world has changed. We have changed. The internet changes the way we look at things, the way we process information. And I don't think moving the venue to another town is going to make all that difference.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.